Chapter 2. Ejaculation, Condoms, and Vasectomy. On reaching puberty, a boy soon discovers that he can get an erection, and that, with a little stroking, his erection can produce ejaculate and a new feeling called orgasm. The erection is commonly called, among other names, a hard-on, and the sticky fluid that spurts out is called cum. Masturbation is usually the earliest form of adolescent experimentation with the mysteries of sex. It also is probably the scariest, owing to the vacuum of ignorance that affiliates it with temptation and evil. No, it won't make you crazy or affect your adult sex life. Masturbation is the shock absorber of puberty, easing the bumps of adolescent development. A boy's penis will become erect while he's asleep during the night. This is a nocturnal erection, a normal, automatic function. Frequently, this erection will produce a nocturnal emission called a wet dream. That's okay too. The wet dream relieves pressure in a male body that produces semen but has no place for it to go. Maria, a nurse on our hospital day shift, raised 5 boys through their teens. She once talked to me about their different reactions to nocturnal emissions, from boy to boy and time to time. All seemed to fear discovery of their bedding after a wet dream. One had gone so far as to wash his own sheets before his mother got up in the morning, trying to keep his starchy secret from her. I assured her that nocturnal emissions were healthy indications of manhood, and told her that she ought to reassure her sons. She said later that she'd had a good conversation with them, explaining some of the ways a boy naturally becomes a man, and thereby putting an end to any guilt and midnight laundry activity. Not only teens, but most males, in fact, have erections regularly through the night. This occurs from infancy through old age, so long as a man is capable of erection. A normal, healthy man will have about 5 erections during a night's sleep, spaced an hour to an hour and a half apart, and lasting 20 to 30 minutes each. Usually, the only evidence of all this activity is the erection a man finds when he awakens in the morning and feels a need to urinate. His bladder erection, or piss hard-on, is actually his last erectile achievement of the night. Nocturnal erections are more prevalent and of longer duration during youth, but as years pass, they become shorter and fewer in number. For a man doubting his erectile function, a test of whether or not he can still get an erection is to learn what happens at night. A simple but effective method of doing so is to stick perforated but unseparated postage stamps around the limp penis at bedtime and see in the morning if the stamps have been separated by an erection. A more elaborate snap gauge is available commercially, but stamps will do just as well. Scientists have identified 2 kinds of sleep: dreaming sleep and non-dreaming sleep. These alternate during the night. Most men experience both kinds. Dreaming sleep is also called REM, or rapid eye movement, sleep, because eyes move rapidly and seem almost to jump during these phases. Most erections occur during REM sleep. The amount of fluid men ejaculate and the force at which they do it decrease with age. Eventually, ejaculate may barely reach beyond the penis, but there are aberrations. In some cases, ejaculate doesn't come until after intercourse or masturbation is completed. In other cases, it doesn't come at all. The volume of fluid in each ejaculation can vary from 1.5 to 5 cubic centimeters, with the average being 3 cc's, or about a teaspoonful. With age, volume peters out and sometimes even disappears altogether. The ejaculate squirts out in several whitish, jelly-like clumps. Very rapidly after exiting the body, the gel is liquefied by an enzyme to an opaque, watery fluid. This liquid form aids the sperm on its trip to the female egg for fertilization. One of nature's anomalies is the wide variation of ejaculate volume produced among animals. A bull elephant, for example, produces a prodigious amount, as might be expected. He's good for more than 300 cc's, or more than a cup. A stallion produces 70 cc's. A man's production is well below the average production of a dog, which is 20 cc's. Contrary to common belief, the testicles are not the major source of ejaculate. Seminal vesicles, small pouches behind the bladder and the prostate, produce about 2/3 of ejaculate volume. About 1/3 is produced by the prostate. less than 1% is produced by the testicles, which do produce all sperm. Yet, despite their small proportional contribution to ejaculate volume, the sperm cells produced in the testicles number from 40 million to 200 million per cubic centimetre of fluid, translating into 120 million to 600 million cells in each ejaculation. Among other minor contributors are Cowper's glands, paired pea-sized glands directly below the prostate, which drain into the urethral tube. These were first identified by William Cowper in 1698. After almost three centuries, medical science still does not fully understand their function. One fact about Cowper's glands is certain, however. They produce drops of seminal fluid that appear at the head of the penis during sexual arousal but before ejaculation. These secretions often contain live sperm, so they make risky any birth control plan that depends on withdrawal before ejaculation. Ejaculatory control. Normal ejaculation occurs simultaneously with orgasm. There are three principal forms of abnormal ejaculation: premature, retarded, and retrograde. Coming too soon may be the least troublesome of these aberrations, but it is perhaps the most frustrating. Consider the guy who made a visit to a prostitute and came in a basin while she was washing his penis, or the man who climaxes before his partner has even become aroused. Serious problems can result. The remedy for premature ejaculation usually comes with practiced patience, assisted by counselling if the problem persists. Sex counsellors Masters and Johnson have suggested a squeeze technique to remedy the situation, saying that a momentary squeeze of the penis just before the ejaculation becomes inevitable conditions a man's response and delays or postpones his ejaculation. The opposite problem, retarded ejaculation, happens less often. It is seen particularly among older men. Psychological problems may result, but a more typical effect is that a couple simply gets tired from having to work longer and harder. Retrograde ejaculation differs from the other forms because it has nothing to do with timing and its effect is permanent. It happens when the opening from the bladder does not close during erection and semen spurts backward into the bladder. The wrong way semen later is passed with urination. To ascertain ejaculation, urine is sampled after ejaculation for sperm count. Retrograde ejaculation frequently follows a prostatectomy, but it can also result from injuries to nerves following bowel, pelvic, or colon surgery. Retrograde ejaculation may also be caused by diabetes, indeed backward ejaculation may be an early sign of diabetes, or nerve diseases. A man experiencing retrograde ejaculation can still climax and feel the effects, but a woman can't be fertilized. Certain medications can reverse the problem temporarily. Victor, aged 70 and a little on the stubborn side, had been sexually active prior to his prostate operation. He came in for his six-week post-operative prostate checkup with the news that he could get erections but couldn't ejaculate. His only problem, as it turned out, was that he hadn't read the instruction sheet he got when he was discharged from the hospital. The sheet explained that he could expect normal intercourse and normal orgasm, but no ejaculation. Victor's wife volunteered that she had read the post-op material and knew all about his retrograde ejaculation. He was just one of those guys who wanted assurance from his doctor that everything was as it should be. I've heard from some couples that they prefer this reverse effect, as it isn't so messy. Sex and athletic performance. The myth that sex shortly before a big event will hurt, even wreck, an athlete's performance has been handed down for generations. The theory was that abstinence leads to frustration, which produces aggression, causing more vigour on the playing field. To my knowledge, there is no scientific study of athletes that shows this to be true. As a urologist who has among his patients both amateur and professional athletes, I know of no athlete who felt he or she needed to avoid sex before competition. In fact, it is fairly well accepted that sex the night before an athletic event, if anything, is beneficial for the athlete. It's the best natural sleeping pill. I subscribe to the theory that sex doesn't wreck you, attributed to Alexander the Great and expressed well by Bill Bowerman, a former United States Olympic track and field coach. It's not the getting it that kills you. It's the chasing after it.